You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello and welcome to the Two Old Dolphins podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk podcast network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle. Hello and welcome back to Two Old Dolphins podcast. I have Alex on the line with me today, and he's not in this country. How you doing, Alex? How's Colombia?
I'm doing great, man. Doing fantastic. I'm here in beautiful Colombia, South America. And in a beautiful farm outside Armenia, like in the coffee region. And really just having a great time with my wife's family. It's been really fantastic. I got to watch the football game last night, and it was on the Spanish broadcast, which is all done by Mexicans. What's funny about it is that they speak in a very thick Mexican accent, and in Spanish.
Right.
Right. So it was just interesting, their view. And I got to say something which amazed me. They bashed Tua.
Really?
They were bashing the hell out of him. He doesn't have a strong arm. He's not as good as Herbert. He's not as good as because they showed Marino, and they went on and on. And I was amazed. I was thinking, even in Mexico, they bashed poor Tua, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
The Tua haters are everywhere.
There's no escaping it, man. But wow, I mean, these people here. So listen to this thing. So I'm over here, and we're celebrating Christmas Eve. You know, celebrated in the Latin world, and great. And then fireworks go off. I said, "Oh, that's so cool! They do fireworks." Then the next day, fireworks go off. I'm like, "There's fireworks every day." They go, "Yeah, we're celebrating Christmas." So they do fireworks like every day here.
Well, I think somebody moved there from my neighborhood.
Oh, they're doing the same thing. Maybe some Colombian moved into your neighborhood.
We had some big bangs from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, as late as midnight. And so I'm like, is that shotguns being shot off or fireworks? What the heck is going on? I don't, you know.
That's so cool. No, I thought the same thing first when it first happened. Like, oh my God, there's some shooting going on. But they're like, no, this is very normal. I'm like, oh, it's pretty cool. It was really nice. I mean, this is really having a great time. But what, you got anything on your personal end besides, I know you did the show with Andy last week. That must have been, he's on a cruise right now.
Yeah.
Andy Korch.
Yeah. Yeah, when we were talking about it, I'm like, well, so you going to do it with me next week? And he goes, maybe. And I go, well, what's maybe? He goes, well, I'm supposed to go on a cruise, but I don't really want to go. I think I'm going to cancel. So I guess it's better half talked him out of canceling. Cancel. Yeah.
Well, I guess his wife's birthday is also right around the, you know, I think they're celebrating a dual thing, you know, like, and also her birthday. And he texts me from, no one else is listening, right? Okay.
this is a podcast, Alex.
okay, well, maybe there are somebody else should be listening, God willing. No, he texts me, he goes, I'm so damn bored. Because they're making him wear a mask everywhere he goes, and it's crazy. You know, I mean, we're in the pandemic is kicking up again, as we have seen across the NFL.
It is, yeah. Yep, it's all over the NFL. It's, you know... It's still hurting people that are vulnerable to it. So, this one's a stretch. But my mom's next door neighbor, who like helps her all the time because she can't, you know, do a lot of things like grocery shop, just normal stuff. So, her father got COVID and died. So,
recently?
Yeah, a couple days ago.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
My condolences. That's really sad.
Yeah, so it's real. You know, he was old and had dementia and other problems, so he was weak and, you know, to it and vulnerable and just couldn't fight it.
So he was on the high risk.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever you make of that, it's never good. So.
No, it's never.
No, I don't have, a ton of the personal stuff to get into today. Let's get into the game.
Yay, all right.
Monday night football, so that would make today, a Victory Tuesday.
Victory Tuesday. Yep. Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, there was a lot of good things and a lot of crappy things, but overall, watching the game was a blast. I mean, I'm one of those fans that when it's my team, I don't want a close game. I have the most fun when I'm comfortable and not stressed.
I don't know a single fan that wants that, Scott. So yeah, okay.
Okay. Just stomping them, especially defensively, which is exactly what I pretty much predicted in the last podcast. Did you get a chance to listen to it?
No, I couldn't. I mean, I've been running. I mean, absolutely crazy out here. It's been nuts.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun. We were just from one farm and we just checked into a new farm today. When I say farm, it's their idea of a farm is a luxury home with a big yard. That's a gigantic, that's what it really is. Not like you and I, there's no pigs or animal. Well, you know, it's just a big house, but it's really cool. Like, you know, we're in the country sort of, you know.
Uh-huh.
Like, but
how
really
is
cool.
The coffee there?
Oh man, it's out of control. I mean, there's so many coffees and so delicious, and I mean, they have coffee everything. I'm in the coffee region.
I know, so, I mean, I know. I'm wondering, you're in the region. How good is the coffee?
Oh my god, it's amazing. Yeah. Also, you know me, I like dark. I like strong coffee.
Yes, me too.
So I over here they just call it, you know, strong. And so I just go and buy it, and it's just every day. And then tomorrow we're going to a coffee, almost like wine tasting, coffee tasting. And I can't wait for that. But yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
That sounds like fun.
But no, I didn't get to listen to it. But before the game started, I did write to you, and I said what I would do with the game plan, and it was exactly what the Dolphins did. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was pretty. A lot of it was really obvious. Is like, you know, when you're facing a depleted team like this with a fourth string running back, you just show them as many looks. I'm thinking on the defensive scheme side of things. You show them as many looks as you possibly can, and you attack all the time. So, and you know, you don't have to be a genius to come up with that plan. Well, I talked about it in the podcast last time. I'm like, you know, the key is to not let up.
You don't and you do, because, I mean, if you look at what Indianapolis, that's what I was saying, what happened to Denver. Denver played a game against Oakland, and they're based in Oakland. Here we go. Vegas. And what they did is just stack the line and said, you know, you're not going to beat us with your great running backs. And that's really all I wanted. I wanted Kamara not to beat us. And that was evidently clear. That's what we did. And we did it well. And, I mean, 8 sacks. I mean, the numbers are staggering. I mean, we did what we needed to do.
I wouldn't want to be Book yesterday, and I wouldn't want to be him today. What was it, Eric was? I felt like it was original because it was in the moment. Eric's like, well, we're certainly burning the book today. Ha, ha, ha. And I thought it was creative. I'm like, I'm going to steal that. And then, you know, of course, I get on Twitter and everyone's got book metaphors. So
there was a cool one. I thought it was Jeff.
Oh, it could have been Jeff. Yeah. Give the right person credit, but.
Yeah, at least let's give the right person credit for stealing it. Maybe he stole it from somebody.
Yeah, I thought it was Eric, so we'll agree to disagree.
But either way, it was smart. It was funny. This kid, I give it to Hondo. Hondo sent us all a video of him being intercepted in the University of Miami game.
Yes.
For a touchdown. Yeah. And long and behold, it was like the same play.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I saw other analysts talking about it, and they're like, oh, Needham makes the read on the ball and takes off. And I'm like, no. Are you paying attention? I mean, the ball went to Needham because Van Ginkel got a couple fingers on it. He changed the trajectory of the ball. So,
Needham didn't make a great play,
but yeah. Yes, they were just smothering. They were jumping.
They were rushing, lights out.
They were tackling. It was again for the seventh week in a row. the defense that we were expecting to see this year, because we felt like we had all the pieces.
What we're now getting accustomed to.
Yes.
You know, it was kind of funny, Scott, because earlier in the year, our defense was pathetic. And we were
last in many categories, including
the run and the pass. I mean, remember that Tampa Bay game when we all said, like, boy, we really suck?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that Tampa can do whatever they want to us.
You know, I will forget it, knowing my memory at some point, but not yet.
Yeah, but I mean, I think we play Tampa today. It's a whole different ball game.
I do, too.
I mean, this defense has really stepped up. And Wilkins, I mean, I'm in love with that kid, man. I mean, that kid, and we got to talk a little bit about that whole playful act that happened. You know, we were talking about it, you know, on a call today. Mm-hmm. But Wilkins, early on, I saw Wilkins kind of like bug him, say something. And I saw Kamara Kamara kind of react to him. And then when he pulled his towel, Kamara just went lost it. and got the penalty. And I'm sure there was more language slipped
in there, because Wilkins is one of those guys that jokes and talks and messes with people all the time. That's just his personality. And it's not like if you listen to him, he's funny. He's like genuinely funny, and he's not mean-spirited about it, but he's going to wheedle you. And clearly, Kamara was not about that at all.
Energetic guy. It lights up a room. And
his motor runs all the time. That's why I loved him at fullback when they, you know, played around with that a little bit, because I knew that guy was just going to give every ounce of everything he had to doing that with that opportunity. So, yes, Wilkins is a guy that's, very hard not to like. I guess if he sucked, you could not like him. But he doesn't suck. He's playing next level this year. So he's definitely stepped up. Love it.
Playing great football. I mean, I really enjoy watching him in every aspect of the game that he brings.
It's funny when I look at my notes, especially all the Ds, right? When I take a note, it's O, you know, when we have the ball, and D when we don't have the ball, so I can easily pick things out from the notes. And if you look at D, it's like three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. And almost every one of them sacked by Ogba to end drive, sacked by Baker to end drive, sacked by Sealer to end drive. It just all of these notes are like just slamming home what we did to them last night. Not that I didn't watch every second of it, enjoy it, but wow, dude. Yeah,
I'm still very
worried about the offense. I mean, if we don't have to walk through this game, you know, part by part, I certainly want to, you know, highlight stuff and you know, because I love to give our favorite players pats on the back and poke people that make mistakes. So
listen, here's you know, today as you know, in our chat, we were talking about, especially it's not a shot at Tua. I think Tua is playing well, and it's so hard to gauge him because of, you know, our offensive line, but my God, what a pathetic offensive line we have. That's we're starting with a little bit of the negative, so we can get out of the way. Our tackles rated in the low 30s.
Yeah, it remains the worst line in the NFL. Which, for every Tua hater, I'm just like, this kid is doing things that most other quarterbacks could not do behind the same line. And
I mean, it's so funny because to be a Tua hater, because reality is, I don't know what they expected, Dan Marino or something. He's not going to be Dan Marino, guys.
No.
I'm going to bust a bubble here. He will never be a Dan Marino. He'll never be Tom Brady. But can he win a Super Bowl? I believe he can.
Yeah. And I think he can be Drew Brees. And this is the third or fourth time I've said it.
I think Drew Brees is his ceiling, and which is not bad.
I'll take
Drew Brees.
Yeah,
but he's not gonna be a guy to go in there. I mean, I think he's a high level game manager, And that's what we need in on the Dolphin team. And
yeah, that's what drives Hondo crazy every time you say that.
Game manager. But you know what? A game manager is used as an offense to some people. And it's not an offense at all. I mean, I could tell you Drew Brees is a high-level game manager. That's what he was. Accurate guy who threw the ball fantastic. I mean, that's what he was. He was
who
just
could
an incredible.
Read defenses, shift around, put the ball where it needed to be. Yeah.
Okay, would you call Bob Greasy a game manager?
Yes.
Is Bob Greasy in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay, enough.
Did Bob Greasy win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yes.
Two. Two. And you know, I mean, to me, that's not an offense. People who take that as an offense are idiots. But what I see him is that's what he is. He's an incredible quarterback, gets rid of the ball fast. He doesn't have a rocket of an arm, never will, but he can win the game for you. Now, you know, I saw him hand off the ball and get killed, which is amazing. I mean, that means right up the middle, our guards, our center, which everybody's talking about Hunt having such a great game. Well, it must have been the other side. But I saw a guy jump. I mean, the minute he handed off the ball, he was blown up.
Yes.
I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those ones where I don't know how a flag isn't thrown. How are you allowed to hit the quarterback after a handoff? You can't hit them low. You can't hit them, you know, one step after the release of throwing the ball. All, you know, all these rules around protecting quarterback, and how do you get to blast him after he hands the ball off? It makes
you
no
sense.
You know
why I think, and I didn't have a problem with it, is because he is running a lot of RPOs.
True.
And he's pulling that ball out. Yeah. So if you're going to play that game, you're going to take the hits.
That's an excellent point. Yep.
That's what I saw in it. But I got to tell you something. On the positive end, Tua has a couple of strong cojones there. He ran that ball when I and you and I texted. I was like, run it, and then I go, oh no. And,
yes.
And the hit was.
We probably yelled the same thing the same time, thousands of miles apart. Yes. I saw it. I saw the land. I go, run it, run it. Get the first, run it. And then I was like, oh, no. You could
it's
hear
Scott,
it.
Did you notice? Yes. Did you notice he took the right angle? It was like, it wasn't like he was going wide. Uh-huh. He cut it. He did everything right.
Yep.
Except the other guy did a better play.
Yeah. The other guy just zoned in on like a heat-seeking missile and just blew him up.
But you know, Tua took it and he was not shaken up. It wasn't even a stinger.
Yep.
And I think that's a toughness that this kid has, which I don't think he gets any credit for. The hits that he takes. And that's one thing that we said about our next week's opponent, Tanny, that he was a tough guy. And I think Tua is a tough man. Coming back from the injuries, the way he played, just incredible. But I think the biggest thing I want to highlight about the game yesterday.
Broken ribs and a messed up finger, both. Yeah.
Exactly, man. And then forget the hip. I mean, come on.
Yep.
That put Bo Jackson, one of the toughest, best athletes in the world, out of commission.
Right. Permanently.
Forever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, let's give a lot of credit to the kid. But what I was really, really impressed with was how well we moved Waddle around. I mean, Waddle is our only offensive weapon. I don't give a damn about Duke Johnson. I mean, he's a nice guy, nice story, Miami kid. Love it. The people were screaming Duke. Did you hear that at the game?
I did. I heard some Dukes at the game. I was stunned. I Miami fans in New Orleans. I guess New Orleans is as fun a place to visit as Miami is itself. So people travel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not
can't
as nice as a city.
No.
I would not. It's not even close as nice of a city, but it is a fun place. Yes,
yes.
You're right.
Yeah,
but the what I saw. I mean, early on in the season, we were talking about this a lot. Of the Dolphins, you know, our offensive coordinators, like we like to call, you know, moving Waddle around, putting him. And I would tell you, put him in a running back. Why not? Let's see if what linebacker is going to cover him.
Everything but quarterback and offensive line, basically.
Yeah,
and moving. I mean, moving him a lot also. You know, I've always been a fan of motion once I understood motion because it gives the quarterback an extra read. on what defense play has been called. You know, is it man? Is it zone? Is it some combination of zone man? You can get a little bit of a read on that based on who moves when a wide receiver or a tight end or something shifts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and they had him everywhere. There wasn't a position on the team that you didn't see him really play as a wide receiver. I mean, they had him everywhere, and he caught almost everything that was thrown his way. It was amazing. I mean, it was really he put on a display. And Parker, now, the stats show that Parker had no targets. I saw one target to Parker.
On a sideline. It was another, like, sort of high jumper. I thought he went twice. Didn't he also go to him, try to go to him in the end zone? When you made the prediction, here's where you have to go for the touchdown. Remember that?
That was
for
Waddle.
It here. Was it?
You mean the corner route, double team? That was Waddle.
Yeah. I mean, that's and Parker's Waddle, profession right there. It. Yeah.
And Waddle got a hand on it.
Yeah.
I mean, Waddle.
If there's one thing that Parker's better than Waddle at, it's out jumping and ripping a ball away from somebody who's bigger, taller, has a higher jump, all of that stuff.
Yeah, but also, I mean, we got to call this out on Parker, okay? Yeah. We were watching the game.
No separation again. That makes him disappear.
Look, whose fault is it? I mean, Tua has to throw the open guy. And they're saying one of the things I heard of one of the criticisms of Tua was he needs to spread the ball around. Got to stop looking one way. Well, geez, where are the receivers?
Yeah. That's right. This receiving corps doesn't get – and it was a criticism of it last year, if you remember. So, you know, we complain all the time. We just aren't getting any separation. We aren't getting any separation.
Well, the statistics spoke for themselves. We had the first and third worst separations of anybody. Williams, who – I don't even know. Where's Williams these days, by the way? Preston Williams?
IR?
Is he back in IR?
Yeah.
Maybe that's his real name, you know, IR Williams.
Yeah,
but
there's a guy that will not be on this team next year.
No.
Guarantee
if he's on the team, you know, let's not even go there. Yeah. But did you see how Parker lined up wrong and Tua is telling him how to line? Whole thing.
Waddle. I mean. Wasn't it Waddle telling him where to line up, or was it Gesicki
again? Tua, they were looking at him like, you're supposed to be on the other side of the line, you schmuck.
And he's the veteran receiver.
He's supposed to be the leader in that group, right?
Well, he's not a captain. Is Hollins, who barely
can't
gets
get into the captain thing. Yeah. And Holland balled out. Hollins balled out again. Yep. Special team, that beautiful play at the 1 yard line, that 40-yard catch. Which, by the way, were you surprised they challenged that play?
Yes, I was, because it didn't look like it was in question to me. And you know, frankly, I couldn't wait to see the replay. I'm like, what did they see that I didn't see on that catch?
I kept thinking
they would waste a timeout on it.
I kept thinking there has to be something that they saw that we missed. And then I saw the replay. I go like, geez, it's not even close.
Well, the other catch where the guy had the ball against his leg, that was questionable.
Oh my God! The one that they didn't overrule. Right. I thought that hit the ground.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I mean, it could have been an inch off the ground, or it could have been on the ground.
To me, it hit the ground. It looked like the ground was used, but who cares? But there was another play that we ran, and the referee to the left side again, and I think it was Duke Johnson, and the referee marked it a yard short. And I'm like, oh, for sure, we're going to challenge this.
Yes.
And we didn't. We punted.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did everybody see that? I mean, it was so evidently clear that he made the first down. We're still very bad at this.
Ball, I mean, this looked to me like the ball landed. I mean, I wouldn't say like, oh, my God, that's way over the line. It looked like the ball landed on the line to me. So, which is a first down.
It didn't land a yard behind the
freaking
line. Behind
it. Exactly. Exactly.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I mean, even a challenge there, you'll win. Or at least I think you should win.
We're bad at challenging, Alex. Just, I think maybe our offensive line, our offensive line determines the challenges.
I wish we had a coordinator. I wish we had a coordinator so I would know who is really getting these calls, because I think the calling in Miami, this is the first game in a long time where I agreed with almost every call they were making.
Yes. that they were facing a defense that that they probably shouldn't have been able to handle given the offensive line that we have, given the skill set that we have. And it was super creative. It was a super
– And Scott, are you sick and tired of the BS about, oh, they had 20 guys, 21 guys out?
Oh, my God. They must have said it – I don't know how many times they said it in Spanish, but in English they said it.
They must have been listening to the same podcast. To the same broadcast. They kept mentioning it. They have 21 people out, and Tua doesn't and this. And I'm like, how do you criticize Tua this game?
You don't need to say it during, you know, every four downs or something. That's honestly, it felt like how many times I said it. It would be interesting if to count it. It's just like 32 times during the game, just to compare it as a statistic to everything else.
It was almost like they were making an excuse for New Orleans. But I was saying this, their defense, okay, they had their middle linebacker out, okay?
Right, that's
you
it,
know
pretty
something?
Much.
We have the worst line in football.
Yeah.
So I don't feel sorry for them, okay? Number two, everybody else was there. Lattimore, everybody else, all their superstars were there. This is the same defense that shut out Brady.
Yes.
And it wasn't like we dominated the ball, the scrimmage. It wasn't like we dominated, you know, I mean, again,
the domination
bring up the
was on
game.
The other side.
Yeah. I mean, the you look at the bringing back the Denver game, I think there was like 36 plays that those guys got because, I mean, they were just dominated by the other. We didn't do that to them. Both of us got 50-some plays. Mm-hmm. That's not the point. The point was their defense was intact mostly. And their defense shut out Brady. So all I can tell you is our offense was not lights out, but it sure as hell put some points up. I mean, again, let's keep it in perspective. We put up
13 the ball,
points.
Made a couple mistakes. Yeah, I mean, that's not going to win a playoff game.
No, and we screwed up on the field goal. It was a long field goal, 59 yards, but
yeah.
You know,
he made it the first time. The time that didn't count because it's stupid freeze. Yeah, I mean, I never liked the freeze, but I would do it in that circumstance every time.
Well, I mean, it works, so we can't argue. But if I look at the whole scenario with the New Orleans defense and New Orleans offense, I mean, they played hard, they played well. Our offense isn't, you know, it's still. The shortcomings are not going to get fixed this year, and that's just the offensive line, as we all know. That's not going to get fixed. And the running back, you know, I mean, I'm happy with Duke. I'm happy with Lindsay. Those guys are playing and running hard.
Yep.
But we still average 2.9 yards a carry.
And for this game, I'm not surprised.
I know, but
because this is
not
a soft
win
defense.
You.
Yes,
these
no.
are the defenses you're going to face
see in the playoffs.
Scott.
Yes,
exactly.
I understand perfectly.
So
right?
You're not going to win a lot of these games by scoring 13 points.
Oh,
I'm just
my
being
goodness.
Realistic.
I just got an alert. John Madden has died.
Oh no.
Oh.
Well, you know, I mean, we all have to go, but it John Madden, we're talking about, you know, a legend. It's so funny. We kept bringing up, and we said Oakland. I mean, maybe there's something there. The Raiders, and to me, when I think of the Raiders, we think of Al Davis, yes, but I think of John Madden. And beating us in that damn game in 1974, which was a nightmare, when LaMonica threw that ball. Was it LaMonica? No, I think it was Kent Stabler, actually. Kent Stabler threw the ball, and a prayer, and they beat us to eliminate us.
Yeah,
but Madden, hell of a coach, hell of a legend, man. May he rest in peace.
You don't think of NFL football without at some point conjuring up his voice. You know?
Oh, you can't.
His image
can't.
Is, yeah. Yep.
I mean, it was bigger than life. Really. There's very rarely you can think of a guy that had such a legendary coaching career and legendary broadcasting career, legendary gaming career.
Yep. All of it.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah. Like three careers where he was legendary.
Yes. How do you do that? Yeah, a very special person. Yeah, darn.
No, the guy's amazing. But, you know, it's strange times we live in. Before we went on, I saw that Bruce Arians got COVID, and I saw that Carson Wentz got COVID, and it's like it's going to start again now, and we're going to get a few, you
week
know,
after week goes. It's just rolling through teams, and yeah.
Yeah.
I hope we've seen the worst of it and that we're really got everyone locked down in Miami and we don't have to, you know, lose one of the last two because of that. Yeah.
The Canes just, the Miami Hurricanes, talk about Miami, just canceled their bowl game because of COVID.
Oh.
So it's crazy the times we live in, but, it, you know, and I know New Orleans got hit hard. And we've been talking about that. I mean, it's shameful, but it is what's happening.
Yeah, put their tackles in and put Taysom Hill in, and I still think we beat him same way.
I don't think anybody would have beaten us the way we were playing. I listen. My concern is our offense. I think our offense is not playoff caliber.
It is not. It's clearly not. You cannot call it a playoff caliber offense when you have the dead last offensive line in the NFL.
And our running game is weak.
Yeah.
Our running game is
mostly
weak.
It's mostly weak because mostly weak because of the offensive line. So, yeah.
Yeah, but then name me a second good receiver in Miami.
Yeah.
And please don't say Parker.
I'm not.
We don't have it. Nope. We don't have a second receiver.
We don't.
I mean, it's a miracle what Waddle can do. It's amazing because he's doing it so quickly, too.
What a joke of a move Fuller was.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about him.
Ugh.
Is his finger healing?
Who cares, man? At this point, it's just a disaster move. So
he gave us the finger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, we got to look forward to really having a great offseason and getting our offensive line to where it needs to be. It'll be such a difference. I'd like to see Tua get 3 seconds to throw the ball.
That would be something. And some regular run lanes open up. But, you know, it just – that opens up everything. It opens up everything. The RPOs get better. The running gets better. The balance gets better. The offense gets better overall. And, yeah. So,
and you and I were—I mean, we were talking about it. You were like, "I'm glad they're trying to run the ball." I'm thinking, like, why? I mean, our passing is our running game. You
because
know
I didn't want to see that defensive line that they have murder Tua. That's why. Because if we'd just come out and passed all the time, they would have pinned their ears back, and Tua would not have survived the game.
What makes you think they weren't pinning their ears back when they killed them on they killed them on a handoff? I don't think that would change that defensive line. I think what changes is that when we pass the ball, we're getting, you know, 5 yards, 6 yards. We need that on those little passes, and that's what Tua gets beat up on the press by. But
right,
what
that
else
is our
can
running
we
game.
Do?
Yes.
Yeah. What else can we freaking do?
All right.
That's it. We got to have those passes.
Like I told Andy last week, you know, this defense is going to give us something. Take what they give us and be safe with the ball. And that's how we win. Defense crushes them, and the offense just takes what the New Orleans gives. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what's made the Dolphins special. And what a run, man. I mean, we got to talk about that, Scotty. I mean, what a run we're having. I mean, 1-7, we all were thinking – God, we're probably, you know, are we the worst team in football? Can we beat Detroit? With historically bad losses, I mean, Jacksonville. When we lost to Indianapolis, they were terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
4-game losing streak.
Yeah, we were losing to some really pathetic teams.
Yep, yep.
And yeah, now you look at this team.
You know, any. Just circle two of those out of the seven that we lost, and where would we be? You know, change that Jacksonville into a win. Change that the game we went to, for God's sake. Change the Atlanta into a win, a home game against the terrible Falcons. And
The Falcon team is horrific.
Yeah,
I mean,
and we're a 10-win team, and everyone's talking about us being in first place in the AFC East. So
yeah, but I think overall, if you look at this team.
But they
can
still say they beat all the soft teams. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think if we We've got to get into the game pretty soon next week, next week's game with the Titans. But if we win that game, you know, respectively, I mean, I don't think we need to pound them to make a point. We got to win the game. But, you know, we win that game and we go ahead and take care of New England, which I think is not going to be a problem. I honestly think our biggest challenge is going to be in the Titans. I think that we can handle New England. You know, New England, to me, they don't scare me. Miami will be in the playoffs, and I think that that experience will be so valuable to get that taste of a playoff game.
I think so, too. You know, I mean, I heard you say, I don't want to see this team in the playoffs. And my thought, I didn't engage to argue with it at that time. I was doing something else. I was like, oh, that pisses me off. I actually am rooting for us to make the playoffs. I want us to make the playoffs. I want to give all the young people on this team that taste, even if they go there and get destroyed.
But Scott, when I said that, the Dolphins were not the Dolphins we are today. I said that about a team that had, I was saying that about a team that had absolutely no way of competing in the playoffs. I think we do now.
I think the defense can keep us in any game. Yeah.
I think if you look at this team, it's a totally different team. Yeah. It's a team that can now be be competitive in the playoffs. I mean, if we imagine this team with some resemblance of a running game.
Yeah. An offensive line that was middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack, yes. Yeah. An offensive line that's not going to allow pressure like the way we do. I mean, this team could really make a run. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying, listen, guy, we're not in the Super Bowl. We're not close to being a Super Bowl contending
team. Too
many
things to fix, yep.
Yeah,
Too many big
this
things
team,
to fix.
Yeah, I mean, this team, I really think I want to see this team in the playoff. Not the team that was a few weeks ago that I told you I don't want to see us make the playoff because I thought we were just going to get steamrolled. I don't think this team was going to get steamrolled. I think we could play with anybody right now. That's what I was saying. I think if we play Tampa today, it'll be a different story. I'm not going to say we're going to beat them, but we're going to be more competitive.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we've gotten after Brady before and gotten his head and had, you know, and beaten him by forcing him to make a mistake. So it's not like Brady had our number all
That's
the time.
What we need to see. Yeah. We need to see that kind of pressure that we would put on these guys. I think it'll be great. I really think that want to see.
Are we talking about the Titans then?
Yeah, okay, let's go for it.
Yeah. So
Titans. It's an interesting
After Slate, yeah, I'll let you get into the statistics and everything, but I just want to, I already tweeted this. I was like, already thinking forward, can we beat the Titans? They're a 10-win team. It's in, you know, Tennessee. I'm like, yes, absolutely we can beat them. And the reason we can beat them is the 6 years that we saw. Tannehill has not changed. He is the same guy that was playing for the Dolphins for 6 years. The difference was when he went to Tennessee, he had a better offensive line and he had a running game, which allowed balance to happen, which allowed the pressure of putting something on his shoulders and his shoulders alone to go away. And the few times that we saw him excel in a Miami Dolphins uniform was because we had games like that now and again, right? One time he had like 17 completions in a row and he was just tearing it up, and it's because he wasn't, I don't remember what team we were playing anymore, but they weren't blitzing him. So I'm like, you guys are dumb. I remember thinking that, you know, a few years back, like, this defensive coordinator is dumb because he's not blitzing Tanny. And now Tanny's ripping him up. So Tannehill's weakness is, you know, we said it over and over. A lot of people said it, pocket presence. It's still there. If you sit there and watch him play, he still doesn't have that sense of when to step up or step outside or read a blitz that's coming and adjust to something really quickly, read a defense that's moving around and showing him things that he hasn't seen before. He folds. He's going to fold
up.
You
know what I thought of Tanny yesterday when there was this one play that Tua stepped up in the pocket, and he was he beautifully moved up and moved to the side, boom, completed the pass downfield to Waddle, and it was beautiful. And I said, you know, it was like a 20-yard play. I said, there's no way Tanny can do that.
Right.
That's his pocket presence is still terrible.
We saw it for 6 years. Yeah. Yeah.
We saw it for, you know, 7 years. His pocket presence is terrible.
Well,
but by the way,
on
an interesting stat, I just got to get to this. Do you know what the Notre Dame quarterbacks, we were talking about Book, Notre Dame quarterbacks record is for the last 23 games in the NFL?
Usually when you ask me a question like this, the answer is 0 for.
It's an 0 for 23.
I could just pretty much be right by answering 0 for your question.
I just answer an 0 for because, you know, I'm amazed at those statistics. Yeah. And do you know who's the last quarterback of Notre Dame to win a football game in the NFL?
I don't know, Joe Montana.
Yeah, it'd be great. But it, no, Joe Theismann. No, no, no. It was actually Brady.
What? Brady was
Brady.
Michigan.
No, not that Brady.
Oh, a different Brady.
The Brady that we wanted everybody in my lots of people in Miami wanted us to draft.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And he was the last guy in 2012 to win a game as a Notre Dame quarterback. I found that astonishing.
It is astonishing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's weird, huh? I mean, that's Notre Dame. Wow. Anyway, but getting into this game, look, the history with the Titans and the Dolphins, it goes back to the Houston Oilers because this
right. Franchise that moved.
You know, yeah, so we're basically 21-17 against them. But against the Titans, you know, we beat them 3 of the last 4 times. I mean, we beat them 27.
Yeah, I remember that Gase game where we were like, you know, everyone was so excited that we'd won 3 out of the first 4 or something, and including beating the Titans that were supposed to be this great team. And that was the lightning delay where that game lasted like 7 hours or something, right?
Yeah, that was it. The 27-20.
Yeah. I remember
in that. 2018, 2017, we beat them 16-10. You know, 38-10 in 2015. I mean, we've kind of done pretty well against them in the in recent history. They are, you know, I think in the power ranking, what did we see them? Number 8, number 7?
It depends which power ranking you're looking at.
ESPN is the one I took a glance at.
I have the NFL open if you want to talk about power rankings.
Yeah, well,
it's always
Tennessee.
A fun little exercise, right?
Yeah, where's Tennessee?
In the NFL, they're 11. And we're 12.
Oh, wow. We're right next to each other.
Yes. We play on Sunday for all the marbles.
Wow.
At least for us. Yep.
ESPN, we were number 12.
Well, NFL and ESPN agreed for once.
I think it's super cool that we're even in the low. I mean, we're out of the teens.
Yes.
That's really cool.
It's amazing. Yeah.
It really is. And Coach Flo keeps this up, and the team Dolphins keep this up. That means Flo would have basically one losing season, the season that we tanked.
Yes.
Tank for Tua.
For Tua season. Yes, that's correct.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. All he has to do is win one of the next two to get that, right? So.
Mm-hmm. I think we can beat the Titans. I really think the Titans
are nothing
special.
I think we can,
too,
and I think the key is the defense again. Getting after Tannehill.
Got news for you. Our defense is the key for every victory.
That's a shocker.
We do not have
yes.
an yep. offense that's going to bail us out.
Nope.
And we'll be in big trouble if we have a shootout. We're not a shootout team. I mean, if I'm a team, I'm triple covering Waddle.
Yeah, take him out of the game and make him throw to Gesicki and Ford and Lord.
By the way, Buffalo did that to us, you know, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what Buffalo, not triple, but they were doubling him. And they made it very difficult for the short passes to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a little concerning. But listen, I don't think the Titans have the personnel to do that. And we definitely need.
They don't have the corners that the Saints have. I mean, Lattimore is probably the best corner we're going to face all season. So,
but he wasn't on Waddle the whole game. Did you notice that? That was weird.
Well, he was on Waddle a lot.
But he wasn't the whole game.
But they were playing a combination of zone man. I thought they were like all man type of team. And you're right. He wasn't on Waddle all the time. There were sometimes Waddle went in motion and he went to the other side of the field and Lattimore didn't go with him. So
it was really weird. Especially when they lined him up at running back. Mm-hmm. God, I love that they did that. I just can't get it out of my head. But anyway, I think we're going to win next week. I really feel that we're going to beat these guys. I think it's going to be a tight game. You know?
Yes. Yep.
Well, I think we're winning. I think we're winning, and it's going to come down to that New England game, but we'll talk about it next. You know, not get too ahead of ourselves, but I think we're going to win. And I can't wait. I'm going to be watching it from Columbia here. It's going to be with Hondo. Alejandro's my son's actually flying out tonight.
Oh, I thought he was there for Christmas. No.
No. He's back home.
Okay.
And he's flying out for the game.
Well, what's his excuse for not being able to do the podcast?
I think he's just crazy with the business.
Yeah. I'm tweaking his ear. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been very hard for him because he's running.
He's left with all of the responsibility. Yes.
Yeah. It's been like that since my health issues. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm very, very grateful to be here and have the family and all that. It's really nice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I think I can't get over what a great game it was yesterday. What game that we never had to worry about. That was so nice. I hope we could do the same thing to the Titans and
yeah.
Just crush them.
Relax, have a beer. I didn't have a beer. I don't know why I'm saying have a beer, but
have some wine or whatever. It's good for your heart.
There you go.
Yeah.
Something. I haven't been drinking.
Well, buddy,
much
I can't
alcohol,
wait for next week. We'll do the podcast from here. Hope the quality stands up and let me know about that. And, you know, stay safe and stay safe from all this COVID stuff. And by the way, on a public service, I read a great article that if you're going to use a mask, use the N95 because this is more contagious than the regular COVID-19.
Right.
And that
way more.
You know, that the N95 actually provides that extra layer of protection. This is my little public service for the day.
Especially if you're getting on an airplane. Yeah.
And an airplane. Yeah, that's what I did in the airplane. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, any place crowded, I read a great article on that. It made a lot of sense to me. So.
Perfect. All right,
brother.
Let's beat those Titans. Are you ready?
Yeah. Three, I'm ready.
2, 1. Go, Dolphins.
Dolphins!
The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelitas Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring because they are the best.
Thank you.